Here at Rose Drive, we have a vision to be united as one in the body of Christ. And this has helped us accomplish a lot. So let's look at a couple of the achievements this has had in both our church and our community.
We are really blessed to have received a semi-truck filled with food that helps supply food for over the 300 people that we serve here. I really would like to thank the over 60 volunteers that help us supply this food to the people that we serve on Wednesday and Saturday.
We house 426 kids with the help of 133 leaders. All of it made it the hashtag best week of the year. We want to thank all of our families, and we especially want to thank our leaders.
We enjoyed a beautiful youth-run worship service this summer.
And we couldn't have done it without 10 youth and 3 youth leaders being a part of it.
Hi, my name is Bart Muma, and these are my friends Rod Bissell and Jack Jackman. And we are part of the leadership group for the Discover Sunday School class here at Rose Drive Friends Church. And our leadership group were benefactors of some money that came to us. And we thought, okay, what can we do with this money to entertain and to have some fun with our Sunday school class? Well, we decided that we would host a dinner. And in deciding that, we also decided that maybe God could use us and use that dinner to provide funds for kids to go to camp. So we decided, okay, God, this is what you want us to do. We're going to do it. So we advertised it that way. We put out a little flyer saying what we were going to do with the funds. And out of our class of about 80 people on a Sunday, we had 69 or 72 people show up for dinner. So our prayer through this thing was, and you know, with the money that we had, that perhaps God would double that money through donations for scholarships for camp. Well, as it turned out, God multiplied it times 5. And so that money was used for scholarships. To our knowledge, there's even money left over for next year. So we're rejoicing just to see what God did through the efforts of our team. And we just thank Him for that, and we're grateful.
Yeah.
In addition, God has helped us unite our church and expand into our communities. And this is all made possible because
we are formed
in Christ
for the sake of others
and the glory of God.
So that video captures a little bit of our summer. The thing I want you to know too about that video, it was completely designed and produced by 3 of our summer interns. Yeah, Zach Reyes, Andrea Gomez, and Benji Wagner. So yeah, that's worth clapping for. That was an awesome project. And today we are going to celebrate the power of one summer. It really has been an awesome time together. And this summer, we set out to be together as much as possible by worshiping together in one service like we're doing today, and by intentionally connecting out on the patio, which a lot of you have done. That's been really fun. And we had some all-church events, things like picnics and worship nights and that sort of thing. And our goal throughout it was to reconnect as a church family, to build morale by getting a clearer picture of our entire church family. We had become a little bit maybe siloed or separate. It's so easy for that to happen as we go our own direction, to our own classes, even our own ministry areas. And we wanted to re-experience the power of being together. And I can unequivocally say, we did it. You did it. It was a far better summer than we even could have imagined. It's been inspiring to be together. One of the things that we'd hope to do is connect relationally, to be together. One of our driving values is to really be multi-generational, truly multi-generational. We want the diverse generations in our church to be connected. And it's been such an encouragement to watch that happen in a number of ways. I've seen so many examples of that out on the patio. I've seen examples of it. Well, just the story you heard today about one of our Sunday school classes is deciding to raise money for students to go to camp. One week, we actually asked everyone to pray for one student who was going to camp so that we could be connected. And you know what? it happened. It really happened.
Hi, I'm Amy Ash, for those of you who don't know. I'm a high school student. And the week that we were asked to pray for students going to camp, someone that I had never met, actually, her name was Jeanette, she came up to me after the service and told me that she would be praying for me while I was at camp. And that really meant a lot to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks, Amy, for giving us that just brief word of testimony. Thanks. Yeah, I just wanted you to hear that it happened. And imagine the things that God did because of your prayers this summer. It's really, really been fun. We also wanted to rekindle our commitment to each other, to our mission, to develop a little passion for our direction. We even took steps of generosity together. We asked you to consider making an extra gift this summer of generosity. And you know what? A whole bunch of you did. It was amazing. Did you know that the month of June was the highest month, the most generous month in terms of giving for the whole last year except for December? Yeah, that's amazing. And so those are just some examples of the good things we have experienced together. And today we really want to celebrate what God did. Celebrate what you did this summer. And as your pastor, I want to say thank you today. Thank you. Thank you for your willingness to try something new. Thank you for your enthusiasm about all that we've done. One of the things that we demonstrated is that we can be flexible, all of us. And you know what? That's going to serve us well as we move in the directions that God has for us. People who study these things tell us that for any group, for any family, for any organization that wants to grow stronger, they need to have three things. The first is cooperation, right? Cooperation, working together, collaborating towards the same end. The second is cohesion. Cohesion really means liking one another, voluntarily choosing to be together. And the third is altruism. Concern and sacrifice for others. And this summer was a great experiment and a great experience of all of these things. It took a lot of collaboration, working together, people adjusting their schedules and when their classes met or where they would meet. That was awesome. The patio was just full of laughter. And so many of you chose to be together in new ways, different ways this summer. You chose to make other people more important than yourself, raising money for scholarships maybe, going out of your way. I noticed this at our church picnic. People going out of their way to be friendly, to greet those who might not be connected to many people in our church. And overall, I believe that we are stronger, we're happier, and we are more united as a church. And we're ready for the next season. So we're going to thank God today. The worship team's going to come back. We're going to just have an air of celebration today as we thank God for His work in us and for all that we experienced together this summer. So let's do that. For a few minutes now this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about what's next. And as we consider what's next for us, I've been drawn to this passage of Scripture in the New Testament. It's in the book of Hebrews. Chapter 10, verse 24, it says this: "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So these words in Hebrews chapter 10, they were written to Christians, written to people in a Christian community, maybe somewhat like ours. That is, people who are following Jesus and grappling with how that works out in their everyday life. You know, amidst all the challenges and the struggles and the burdens and the realities of life, how do you live for Jesus in the midst of all of that? And I'm drawn to these words because it actually gives us the key. It actually tells us the goal the why of our gathering together. It's right there in the first sentence in verse 24, right? Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. The purpose, the reason for Christians to meet together like we do is so that we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That's the goal, to spur one another on. When we gather, spurring should occur. And spurring is about movement, right? To spur on means to get something moving. Now, I don't know anything about horses or riding horses, but I know a lot about watching Westerns, okay? And I know from watching Westerns that every good cowboy wears spurs. And the purpose of the spurs is to get the horse moving, right? You touch those spurs to the horse's flank and she moves. At least that's the idea. So when Christians like us, when we meet together, spurring is supposed to happen. That's the goal. Not, hear me, spectating, but spurring. That's why Christians meet together, right? And the goal is to help each other get moving in the direction, notice he says, of love and good deeds. Helping each other, encouraging each other, spurring one another on to become people more marked by love that results in good deeds. Now, depending on the season of life you are in, depending on what's happening with you, sometimes you're in a place where you receive spurring, right? Sometimes you just need to soak in the Word of God. You need to soak in the prayers. You need the encouragement, the example of faith from others. That's good. Other times you do the spurring, the encouraging, the praying, the teaching, the modeling of faith. But all of this is done with the goal of people becoming more inclined to love and to do good deeds. And that happens when we meet together. Well, actually, it requires us meeting together. Verse 25 makes that explicit, right? Not giving up the meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Don't give up meeting together. The key to both experiencing and expressing this increase in love and this increase in good deeds, the key is actually meeting together. The scripture says, do not give it up. This is the key. And we think this applies to us in a special way. We believe that the next season of our church life includes continuing our one worship service format. When we started this experiment, we said, you know what, we're going to try this, we're going to evaluate it, we're going to see how it works and if it helps us. And honestly, when we began this journey, I really expected that we would come to the end of the summer and say, let's go back to having two services. But the reality is, we have far exceeded our goals, right? The morale of our church family is way up. This is clear to me in the text you're sending me, the emails, the cards I get, talking about how much you have loved being together. I see it in your eyes and the faces of people on our patio. The number of guests who are finding their way actually during the summer is up. It's way up. Generosity, as I said earlier, is up. Relational connections are happening. We are experiencing so much good. We are so much stronger. And we want to apply this strength that we have gained to the next season. And that means continuing to meet together as one with some slight modifications. And then I'll put those up on the screen. You can kind of see the basic structure. We'll send this to you in the mail this week, and it'll be on social media. But basically, our classes are going to meet, students and adults, at 9 o'clock, starting with junior high. At 10 o'clock, we're going to continue to connect on the patio with fun things to do out there. At 10:30, one worship service. And something I'm really excited about is we're going to continue our monthly worship nights. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, okay. How long will this season last? Well, that is going to be determined by capacity, seating capacity. This year, even though it feels fuller in here, we are running at about 55% or so of our capacity. Okay? So there's plenty of room in here to grow. At 75% or so of our capacity, it'll start to feel really full. And at that point, we'll have to relaunch a second worship service. But the reality is that good things happen. This is what Hebrews is teaching us. Good things happen when we meet together. We're spurred on to greater love, to increased good deeds. And this summer proves it. So, let me encourage you to not give up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but instead encourage each other. There is nothing more powerful that you can do, nothing better that you can do for your faith and for the sake of others than the simple act of meeting together. Don't give this up. As it says in the scriptures, is the habit of some. Wow, if there is a verse of scripture that is relevant to us today in our church culture, it is this verse, as is the habit of some. Right? It is easy to be the some. Right? It is easy to get out of the habit of meeting together. It's actually easy to make a new habit of not meeting together, right? Maintaining habits is hard. Our culture is not going to help you. In fact, our culture conspires against meeting together with your Christian community, right? We don't have to look any farther. For those of us that are parents, we don't have to look any farther than the investment in our kids' activities that now require. They make a priority of your weekend. And they aren't going to insist and help you meet with your Christian community. And so it's difficult. I get that. But the scripture says, don't give it up. And that's because it is in the meeting together that the spurring happens. It happens between us, and it happens among us. It requires all of us. And when we're not together, less spurring to love and good deeds can happen. This is where you receive the encouragement from one another, the inspiration, the training, the support that you need so that you can be the person that God fully intends you to be, a person more and more marked by love and good deeds. And I get this can, for many of us, require a shift in our thinking, a shift in our expectation, a shift in our thinking of why we come together here. When you come to spur, not to spectate. Maybe you need to receive. Maybe you need to be spurred. Maybe right now you've got needs and you need to soak in the word. Like I said, soak in the prayers and the faith of others. That's good. That's great. But that is different than spectating. So we come to spur and to be spurred. And our measure is how much spurring is going on, not how much spectating is occurring. And so in this next season of our church life, we want to harness the strength of what we have gained and what we have learned. We want to ask God. We want to seek God. We want to be spurred on by God toward all that He has in front of us. And so I'm going to have the worship team come back, and they're going to lead us through a moment of pursuing that, of saying that to God. God, lead us. God, show us. Because the shift that's occurring from the summer is not just focusing on how good it is to be together, but on how this good of being together helps us move in the direction that God wants for us. So join with me. Join your hearts and your voices with us as we sing. I've got 7 more of these segments. I'm just kidding. It's the last one. Let's talk about love and good deeds, right? If spurring causes us to move toward love and good deeds, what does that mean, right? That's our verse. Let us consider how we can spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And certainly our love and our good deeds are directed to one another. It says so right in this passage. We spur one another on, right? So to others in your Christian community, to others in your church family, sometimes we forget that God plans to use each of us in the lives of others, that your very presence here, your example, your word of encouragement, your faith, your support, is part of God's plan in somebody else's life, spurring them on to love and good deeds. That's what happens when we come together. And this, of course, is completely in line with what Jesus taught us. These are the words of Jesus from John chapter 13, right? A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And so when we think about love and good deeds, we certainly, on one hand, we think about one another. We develop a one another viewpoint of our church family. It's not just us. It's not just me. It's us together, one another, right? But is that as far as it goes? Well, think about what happens when you get spurred. Well, I don't know. Maybe that's not a good image. What happens when you get inspired, when you get encouraged, right? When you get supported or you get trained to give more love and good deeds, what do? You go out, right? You go outside. If all the horses are milling around in the corral and one of them gets spurred, he's going out, right? And so it is with us. Because Jesus also taught us this radical truth. These are his words in the book of Luke. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. So on one end of the spectrum, Jesus teaches us you must love one another. You must seek to do good to and for one another. And all the way on the other end of the spectrum, Jesus says, also love your enemies. Do good for your enemies. And by enemies, I mean, we don't have people storming our gates, right? Like in the ancient world. But people who you don't share life with. People you might not share faith with. People who they might have something even against you. People on the farthest end of the spectrum from you. Jesus says, love them. So love one another, love your enemies, and you know what? And everyone else in between. That's the point. Everyone else in between. Everyone. And everyone is a lot. My friend Alan Amavisca tells me that in North Orange County, there are 1 million people who do not know Jesus. 1 million. And the vast majority of those people do not know and do not care about going to church. They aren't motivated by flyers they get in the mail. They're not drawn by activities and programs that are happening at a church. They will not magically appear in our midst. We will not reach them with the love of Jesus simply by getting better at church. But we will reach them by loving them. And love always starts with service. when we serve them, when we share our life with them. The main purpose of meeting together, which the scriptures say you must not neglect, the main purpose is to inspire. It's to motivate, encourage and help you, spur you on to love and to good deeds beyond yourself. Randy and Melissa Boehringer are members of our church. And 2 weeks ago, Melissa wrote this to me. She sent me an email and it said, "You've been speaking to us recently about getting out into our community. I'm writing this letter today about our small cul-de-sac street, Dunsmuir Plaza, and the way most of our neighbors have joined together with love to support one amazing man that lives on our street." And she says, "As I'm writing this letter to you, our next door neighbor, Al, is recovering from brain surgery at St. Jude Hospital. Al's home now, but when she wrote this, he was there. The surgery was to release pressure and to remove a blood clot from his head that he acquired after falling on a nearby sidewalk on July 12th. Al, who is 78, has never been married, he's got a mild case of Parkinson's. He was trying to chase after his small dog who had escaped from his house to explore the neighborhood. Al was trying to catch up to his dog, and he tripped on a portion of the sidewalk, and he hit his head very severely. At that same time, a young couple was driving by in their car, and they saw Al fall, and they stopped to help him, and they corralled the little dog, and Al was bleeding profusely. And the young couple, they called 911, and they gently helped Al back to his home. And at that time, Melissa writes, I was just returning home from an errand, and I saw Al and the young couple walking toward his house, and I ran over to him. The young couple, his name was Tim, happens to be an Eagle Scout, and his girlfriend, Zoe, then proceeded to tell me that they knew who I was, because they were friends with our daughter Felicia's boyfriend, Josh, who works with our high school ministry, and that they attend Rose Drive. She says, small world? I think not. And then in her letter to me, there's a long list by name of all the neighbors in her cul-de-sac and a list of how they've all gotten involved helping and caring for Al. This person visited him in the hospital. This person provided food. This person, turns out, works in physical therapy with elderly people and is helping him. This person knows how to navigate the VA system and is helping him with his benefits. Just a long list over and over again of people who have all committed and connected to helping this neighbor of theirs. And then Melissa says this, in the hospital, he's been telling all the nurses what great neighbors he has. One night while we were at the hospital, one of the nurses attending to him asked where we lived. She said her neighbors wouldn't visit her in the hospital. They wouldn't probably know if she was sick and that she wanted to live on our street in the future. Yeah, me too. And then she just said, all these coincidences have shown Randy and myself how God has had his finger on every aspect of this, right? All because somebody saw a need, and they stopped their car, and they got out. That's what Jesus is telling us to do. That's what Jesus is saying is the way to reach with the love of Christ to the 1 million people you and I are within arm's reach of, who aren't going to come to church on their own. And so in this next season, as we commit to being together as one, as we commit to strengthening our bonds, spurring one another on, let us always remember that the goal, the whole goal, is so that we can express love through good deeds to those around us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I know there are many stories, like Al's story, happening in and around the life of our people. We're grateful for that. God, as we move forward, as we take next steps, as we've been encouraged and strengthened by being together, we pray, oh God, that you would stir in our hearts an awareness of those around us, those in need of love, good deeds. Inspire us, God, afresh with the way that you want to move and to work. We believe. In Jesus' name, amen.